I want to talk about giving. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word giving. Maybe you cringe, maybe you rejoice. Which are you? I seriously want to ask you, okay? Because we could talk about this topic. Without the gospel, as an institution, as a church, or we could talk about this topic with the gospel. Which one would you like to hear? I could go either direction. No preference? Okay, either way you don't want to hear it. Well, you know why this topic's so important? Because this topic is about Christianity. Christianity is about giving. And it begins with God, not with you. Okay? In fact, everything begins with God. That's Christianity. Important theology and important everything, actually. You know, I titled this message, Giving Act of Grace. And you're probably thinking, oh, that's us. No, it's about God, actually. Can we think about God's act of grace? You know, we're celebrating Christmas season, which is in only just about 10 days, less than 10 days, right? I'm in the Christmas mood. I don't know about you. How many of you are in Christmas mood? Can you say amen? Okay. Can you say amen? Yeah, please. Yeah. Respond, right? We're in Christmas season, and the whole world is spending, right? And they're giving. We have option, when you think about giving, you have an option of who to give to. Giving always has beneficiary, receiver, okay? What are some options? I thought about this topic, okay? Three options. Can I give you three options? You could give to God, you could give to others, or you could give to yourself. Okay, really? Give to yourself? Yeah, we do that all the time. Come on. Right? And here's the thing. You could give to God, you could give to others, and give to yourself. And my question to you right now is, who do you like to give to? Okay, there's two ways of giving. You could give generously, or you could give very stingily. Okay, we're going to look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You could give to God very generously, you could give to others very generously, and you could give to yourself very generously. Which one are you? Okay, you could give to God very stingily, you could give to others very stingily, and you could give yourself very stingily. Which one are you? Okay, we all have a position. No matter what, we spend money. Okay, why is this topic so important? Because God is the giver. And I already shared the gospel. Okay, God's act of graces. We know in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the gospel, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is, though he was rich, listen to me, who is he referring to? Jesus. Though he was rich, for your sake, he became poor. Let me stop that. Let me pause for a second. He was rich, but for your sake, he became poor. Can you even imagine that? Does anybody do that? Do you know anybody would do that? Why? Though he was rich, for your sake, he became poor, so that, it explains why, through his poverty, you may become rich. Wow. That's just an amazing story, if you think about it. Though he was rich, he became poor. Does that mean because he lived as a carpenter's son, he became poor economically and materially? Is that what the scripture is speaking about? No, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. Although that may be included a little bit, but we're talking about the God of glory limiting himself to become a human flesh and living with limitations. That's a tremendous amount of drop from rich to poor, so that through his poverty you may become rich. So that you could become a billionaires? Is that what that scripture is saying? Is that what the gospel is saying? Absolutely not. You know that's not what it is. You know, how rich you become if you are in Christ Jesus. You are sons and daughters of living God, heirs of God. Not Donald Trump, but heirs of God. That's the gospel. How many of you feel rich? Can I really say, if you feel rich, would you say amen? Wow, there are some people who feel rich. Can I just tell you, you know who's rich? People who could give are rich people. You don't have to have $1 million to give. In fact, usually the rich people don't like to give proportionally. But there are generous people. Okay, so giving is act of grace, and it begins with God, and it has begun with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, someone asked me not too long ago, okay? And we were talking about, you know, what we are thinking about living for and things like that. You know what I told him? He was a very rich person. I told him, you know, Mr. Kim, I don't need anything in this world. I have more than enough of everything. I just want to use it to live for him. I just don't need anything. I don't need a better car. I don't need a better anything. Right? Let me just share something, why this topic is so important. Because 16 out of 38 parables in Jesus deals with money. 1 out of 10 verses in the New Testament deals with money. Scripture offers about 500 verses about prayer, fewer than 500 words about faith, but about 2,000 on money. Can you figure this out? Right? Can you figure this out? It has to be an important subject. Why is this subject so important? Well, John MacArthur is saying the believer's attitude toward money is determinative. It really is, actually. Your attitude toward money is the most clear sign of, or the barometer of your spirituality, whether you love God or not. It really is. There's no question about it. It's so determinative that this is what Jesus said. Do not store up your treasures on earth, but store up your treasures in heaven. Right? If you believe in the gospel, if you believe in Christianity, that's what you will be doing. Again, going back to the question, do you love to give to others? How many of you, I love to give to others? How many of you, I love to give to God? How many of you, let's be honest, love to give to yourself? Nobody? Yeah, raise your hand, come on. Right? That's what we are. We love to spend on ourselves. But can I just tell you something that I've been thinking about? The more you spend upon yourself, more insecure you're going to feel. Wow, really? And I really thought about this topic. People who spend more and more on oneself, you're going to feel insecure about yourself. Let me give you an example. Let's say you spend, there's no such thing, I don't think, wear a $10,000 jacket. Is there such thing, Chloe, $10,000? Huh? Yes? Really? Okay, $100,000 jacket. You wear $100,000 jacket, okay? You wear it on Sunday. This is not $100,000 jacket. Okay, I got it from Macy's. $150 jacket. And you wear this, and you feel like someone. You feel like you're somebody, okay? You feel like everyone is looking at you. You feel like you are so important. You feel like you need to be seated in the high place anywhere you go. You feel like that because you're wearing a $100,000 jacket. Let's say it gets ruined. You're not wearing that. How do you think you will feel? It really affects your heart. The more you spend on yourself, believe it or not, apart from Christ, because you're more than just the flesh. Because you're a soul, you're going to feel more insecure. Man, I'm not wearing the $100,000 jacket or $10,000 jacket or $1,000 jacket. You're just going to feel like that. The more you depend on that, you become more and more like that. Right? So Jesus clearly teaches about this topic. And get this, okay? This is, I think, the key in terms about money and possession about and about giving, the topic. It's what Jesus, God himself said, who became poor for you and I. Okay, this is what he said. Do not lay up your treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay? Where neither moth or rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Basically, he's saying, you're going to store up your treasure in either this place or that place. One is on earth, and the other one is in heaven. And he's saying, don't do this. Do this. Because he wants to gain from you, extract things from you. He wants to squeeze you. Is that why? No, because he loves you. Because he loves you. Right? And then the punchline. The punchline is, where your treasure is, where your money is, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I think that's just the key teaching of Jesus Christ. You spend on yourself, your treasure, you spend all your treasure on yourself, your heart is on yourself. You spend on something that matters eternally and kingdom, your heart will be there. And that's where you're going to be following. Okay? That's the teaching of Jesus Christ. And today's teaching, okay? I'm just going to go through quickly. I just want to give you some major teachings about giving, okay? And it is vital that we learn to be a giver because God is our giver, okay? So here we go. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, stingily, will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully, generously, also reaps generously. Okay? By the way, the word bountifully in Greek is eulogy, meaning blessing. Whoever sow and bless God, you'll be blessed. Okay? That's what the scripture is teaching. And verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. You know what giving is? It's the heart activity. It's the heart activity. That's why it is important. Not reluctantly, under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. And then Paul goes nuts to this poor church in Corinth. He's speaking to Corinthian church. Remember Corinth? That church in Corinth where there is so much sexual immorality. Christians were the underdogs. But he's telling Corinthian church, help the poor in Jerusalem, the poor church in Jerusalem, and telling them about the example of Macedonia, right? He's not speaking to rich people here. He's speaking to very poor people. God is speaking to very poor church, okay? And this is Paul goes off the wall, you know, as he talks about the giving. You know, do you know why he's telling you to do that? Because God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. He wants to use and bless your life. You think it's a little bit hyperbole here? Okay? Paul does that at times. You know why I'm talking about giving? Because, not because he's in need, because God is able to make all grace abound to you. It's about you, blessing you. So that having all sufficiency in all things, in all times, and abound in every good work. Okay, let me continue. And then you're going to be enriched. That's why he's talking about giving. You're going to be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. Here's the key sentence, verse 13. By the approval of this service, by your giving, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from the confession of the gospel of Christ. You know what giving is? It's your submission to the gospel of Jesus Christ. OK, Okay, I was going to start with the Old Testament and then go to New Testament and then the applications, but I wanted to start today with the New Testament, the gospel. And we're going to talk about Old Testament. Do we still need to give tithe? People say, oh, we don't need to give tithe because we are living in New Testament, New Covenant dispensation. We are, actually. Then what is our calling then? Submission to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about that, so I want you to think about that. And the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Why they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that is upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And this is the passage that our brother Dexter just read. Can we just talk about this? What does it mean that you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I want to ask you, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, could you say amen? I'm going to ask one more time. I'm just asking one more time. I'm not looking at you. I'm asking you to answer to yourself. If you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you say amen? Okay. What does that mean? That you believe and submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what it means, among other things. We talked about this last week. Although you deserve not to be saved or have salvation, but one reason or another, God has chosen you and give you this saving faith and saving love in you so that your disposition is not to hate God, but to love God so that you can live this life as children of God, free. That's what the gospel is. But when you do that, what you are confessing is, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Isn't that the case? What does that mean? Jesus is my Lord. Okay? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I thought about this example. Okay? I thought about bean and beans. Okay. Let's say you're doing a business. Okay? You own a store. You do a coffee business, a cafe business, and it's called Bean and Bean. Okay? And you're doing pretty well. You are not the owner, but you are the manager, okay? So you are the manager of this place called Bean and Bean, and you are their steward's manager, say, in this store, okay? And here's what you get. You work there, and you manage, so the business is good, okay? So many people come and spend hours and spend dollars, okay? You work diligently as a manager, and you be kind to the customers, and you do it cleanly, okay? You as a manager. And you get salary every week or every other week. You get a decent salary. Okay, let me not just say how much or that is. You're a manager. And you not only get salary, you get all the drinks from that place, all you want, anytime, basically. Latte, cappuccino, all right? Americano, anything you want as a manager, anytime, okay? Because you are a manager. And you get certain amount of pastry, not all you want, but a certain amount of pastry every day, and your lunch is provided as a manager. The nice sandwich there. Not bad, right? Not only that, the owner provides you health benefit and vacation days and sick days. You get all of these. Okay? And you enjoy your work and drink, you know, that taste. I love bean and bean coffee, by the way. You know, you drink that anytime you want. Not so bad, right? Not so bad. Let me just ask you something, though. You're still a manager. You're not the owner. There's one thing you cannot do. You cannot go to the cash registry and open the cash registry and use in any way you want, anytime. You can't do that. That's what it means to be a manager and steward. Am I being fair? Would you say amen if I'm being fair? Would you say amen? Amen. That's what it means to be a manager, stewards. We're not talking about you giving God a favor and giving some money. See, owner of the B&B has right to come and collect whatever was business has produced and take the money to himself. He could do that. Okay? By you collecting it, work diligently and cleanly and honestly and giving back to him is the right thing to do. Right? Isn't that what Lordship of Jesus Christ is? Right? You still cannot open anytime you want and just use it any way you want. That's what it means to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know why the giving is so important? Because it is related to the gospel. That's why it is important. You know why it is so important? Because it affects your heart. Just think about it. It affects your conscience. You don't know that you're supposed to do this or not do that. Maybe you didn't. But if you know, and if you continue to not do it and compromise it, your conscience will be compromised. Your conscience will be compromised. You don't get to enjoy the freedom that you truly have in Christ Jesus. And God wants you to have that. You're not doing a God favor. It belongs to him anyway. Can I go a little step further? Someone wrote, okay, everything belongs to the Lord, according to Psalms. And under the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is the Lord. He is the owner. He is, he owns everything. So you're giving, okay, let's just say 10% of your income to him. It's not you're really giving yours to him. You are really giving his to himself. Which means the giving, in terms of giving, God is not really the beneficiary. God never is the beneficiary. God is the benefactor of giving. Then who is the beneficiary? You are the beneficiary. What do you mean? When you give, God promises all these blessings upon your life, that your life will matter so that you can live for the grace of God, for the advancement of the kingdom. Do you get it? I know this is so counterintuitive to your nature and as well as our culture. We want to spend on our own. That's us. We love ourselves. But the gospel changes our inclination, our desire, our devotion. Where do you begin? It's right there in your heart. Right there in your heart. I want to go to the Old Testament teaching, okay? Malachi teaching, this is a pretty hard teaching. Some of you are looking at this for the first time. Don't just relax, okay? He loves you. That's why he's speaking this to you. Seriously. I woke up this morning and I had breakfast with my wife. And this is what we talked about. Ellen and I talked about it as we were having a waffle. Every time I, as a shepherd of this church, need to talk about this topic, I could cringe. Oh, people don't want to hear this. I don't really want to share this. I could go with that route. But this morning, when I woke up this morning, when I was meditating about God's word, please listen to me. God spoke to my heart. This is not about extracting theirs. This is to really pour his grace and love upon them, so that they'll be blessed. And with that heart, I'm sharing with you. Okay? Malachi, Israelites, which is the last book of the Bible, Israelites turn away from the statues of God. In other words, their heart was turned away. They were doing their own things. They were worshiping idols. Okay? They were just being not good. And God is telling Israelites, return to me. Return to me. Return to me. Return to me. God is speaking to the Israelites. And I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? How do we do that? And this red is God, God speaking. And then out of the blue, he said, will man rob God? Very strong expression, right? Yet you are robbing me. Okay, use the word robbing twice. But you say, how do we rob you? How is that possible? And God answers, in your tithe and contributions. Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, third time, the whole nation of you, and bring the full tithe, which means 10%, right? 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby permit a test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Can you take a look at this? People sometimes hate this, and a lot of people misuse this, okay? A lot of prosperity preaching people use this as if you know, if you don't do this, you'll be cursed. And people hate this because people misuse that. People hate because they don't want to do this. I don't know where you are. But what is this passage about? If, in light of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if the giving is about submission to the gospel, this makes sense, right? Because he is the owner. And you open the cash register and use it any way you want. You're so generous to yourself. That's robbing. That's not wrong. In light of that gospel, I don't think this is severe. I don't think so. But what is the heart of Jesus? What is the heart of God here? He wants your 10%, 10% of your grain. He wants your 10% of your income. You make $1,000, give me $100. Is that what he's saying? Do you think that's what he's doing? No, he's not doing that at all. What he's doing is, return to me, return to me. Return to me. What is he saying? You have turned away from my statues. You worship other idols. Right? Return to me. Do you hear his heart? Is he in need of money? Does he need more grain so that he could feed himself? Absolutely not, brothers and sisters. Giving really expresses your submission to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have all different excuses. We have all different reasons. Giving is not supposed to be the last priority of your income. Giving is supposed to be the first priority of your income. I think that's the gospel. And I share this because it's the word of God and for your blessing. Okay? It really is, actually. Going back to New Testament, Okay, is it the one? Are you doing it or am I doing it? Can I do it? Yeah, because I want to. Yeah. Next one. It's going toward the front. Can we go backward? Yeah, to the back, toward the end. Next one. Yeah, okay. This is R.C. Sproul, okay? R.C. Sproul just passed away this week. And when I heard about his passing, I was really sad. I'm not kidding, because I really respect him, and I do quite a bit of reading of his writings, especially the last 6 months. But this is what he shared, okay? Of course, my argument assumes that the tithing continues in this new covenant era, okay? He is a historian, all right? And this is what he explains. Some denies that the tithe continues today, but that's not what the early church Christians believed, New Testament church. In the book called Didache, which is about Christian living of early Christians, written at the end of the first century or early in the second, there is a significant amount of material on the question of supporting the work of the kingdom, and the tithe principle is clearly communicated in this work, showing us that the primitive Christian community or the early church continued the practice of tithe. Okay? I don't know what you have heard. Okay? But any way you look at it, it's not about 10% or not. In fact, I was just consulting my brother because so many people speak against it. My brother says 10% is minimum. D.A. Carson says, don't shoot for 10%, shoot for 20-30%. Shoot for 20-30%. You should be a little bit less generous on yourself and a little bit more generous toward God. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians 8, okay? But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. When you give, this is what you're doing. You're giving to the Lord first, and then you give to others. In other words, you may be giving to help the poor. Let's just say someone in the congregation, secretly you give. And there are a lot of people. Okay, let's say you do it secretly, but when God looks at it, you're doing it to Him first. Isn't that what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25? When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When you do it to a brother of mine, you're doing it to me. Okay? Accordingly, we urge Titus that we, as had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. What is he talking about? Giving. Your act of grace. We first talked about in the beginning, God's act of grace. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. So that through his poverty, you may become rich. Now, you know the story does not end there, right? Now you live the act of grace. As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, in all your love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Oh, I love this passage. Can I just ask you, how many of you, in years that you spend in church, let's say at Newhart, you feel like you grew in this act of grace? Can I just ask you? Or you find yourself more and more cringing? It really reveals your spirituality, where you're heading toward to. I say this not to commend, but prove by this earnestness of others that your love is genuine. You know why this is so important? Giving proves something. What? It proves what? Your genuine love toward God and toward others. That's why this is important. But I don't have any money, you may be saying. It's okay. I only get like $50 allowance every other week. You have $50. It really is not about quantity. Because to infinite God, quantity doesn't matter. To infinite God, really the quality matters. Okay? You could give same, like, $50 as someone who makes, like, $100 a week. That's a lot of money. And you could make $1 million and give same $50. That's not same. Right? Pray that you will grow and excel in this act of grace so that it'll prove your love is genuine. And this is what I shared in the beginning. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor so that you by his poverty might become rich. Don't answer out loud right now, but how many of you feel rich because you are a child of God? Would you say amen? You know who's rich? People who could share and give. Those are the rich people. There are so many rich people who can't, who just don't have the disposition or will to do it or desire to do it. But God has given you that desire. He lives in you. He lives in you. Okay, just a couple of warnings from the scripture. For those of you who want to be rich, anybody want to be rich? A couple of warnings for you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9. But those of you who desire to be rich, fall into temptation. You're going to fall into temptation. Into a snare. You know what a snare is, right? That traps your legs and you're a deer and you're trapped and you can't go anywhere. It's hurting. Eventually it'll kill you. Into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And the word destruction is perdition, meaning lose your soul, okay? Biblical warning toward those of you who desire to be rich is very strong, very strong, okay? For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some of you wandered away from faith. You're gonna even give up your faith. What's Christianity, right? And pierce themselves with many pangs. Verse 17, as for the rich in present age, if you're already rich, and there aren't that many, right? Depends on what you think rich is. Let's say you make about $50,000 a year. That's not bad. Let's say you make about $100,000 a year. Wow. Okay. Scripture says, for the rich in this present age, that may be you, charge them not to be haughty, not to be deceived. Don't be deceived, right? To set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Let me just tell you something. That rich that you think you have, it could disappear like this. It could just disappear like this. Right? And he said, don't put your faith in that, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works. Do you see that? You know what Christian richness is? As a child of God, we do the work of the Lord. Okay? And to be generous and ready to share. To be generous and ready to share. Thus, storing up your treasures for yourself in heaven. A good foundation for the future. So that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Okay? I'm almost done, okay? When I was sick a couple of years ago, okay, those of you, many of you remember that, when I was sick, one of the things that Lord really spoke to my heart, okay, when I was sick, and I shared this with my wife this morning, I remember this. I still remember this. You know what Lord reminds me of? I was not generous toward God. I was not. But I felt like at the time, I have no more time. I have no more time. My life is done. How can I be generous to God now? That's what went through my mind every single day. But Lord gave me a new life to me. And I want to be generous to Him. I do. I want to break my alabaster. And I want to give to Him. That's what I said to myself back then. And I did. And I want to do it again. Brothers and sisters, you know what the heart of God is? To use you, abuse you, slave you? No. Just the opposite. this doesn't work? Oh, really? Oh, it'll work now. Okay. 2 weeks in a row. Okay. Nick, he's a good man. Yeah. You know why he wants? This is why. Because God is able to make all grace abound to you so that all sufficiency in all things, in all times, you may be abound in every good work. Do you want to serve the Lord? You got to become like Jesus. Yeah, that's it. You just got to become like Jesus in a way that you have a little bit, give, share. And don't be bragging about that. Sorry if I sounded like I was bragging. I just wanted to share my heart. I think that the bottom line is this. You cannot serve two gods, Jesus said, two masters. You either love one and hate the other. You either honor one and despise the other. And those two gods, Jesus said, God and money. Interpretation, if you love money, you're going to use God. But if you love God, you're going to use money for His glory. And I just pray that you and I would excel and grow in this act of grace, becoming more like Jesus. Let's pray.